Our scripture today is from Mark 12. As Jesus was teaching, he said, "Guard against the teachers of the law of Moses. They love to walk around in long robes and be greeted in the market. They like the front seats in the meeting places and the best seats at banquets. They cheat widows out of their homes and pray long prayers just to show off. They will be punished most of all." As Jesus was sitting in the temple near the offering box and watching the people put in their gifts, he noticed many rich people were giving a lot of money. Finally, a poor widow came in and put in 2 coins that were worth only a few pennies. Jesus told his disciples to gather around him. Then he said, "I'll tell you that this poor widow has put in more than all the others. Everyone else gave what they don't need, but she is very poor and gave everything she had. Now she doesn't have a cent to live on." Here ends the reading. Let us pray. Still speaking God, be with us this morning as we celebrate your love and compassion and seek to find truth and light in your holy word. Amen. Now today's familiar gospel story of the widow in the temple has a backstory that you may not have heard. Jesus was teaching and debating in the temple courts. He's surrounded by the opulence and luxury of King Herod the Great's newly constructed temple. In the 18th year of his reign, Herod had doubled the size of the original temple of Solomon. Construction on the main temple was completed in an astonishing year and a half. That'd be amazing even today, wouldn't it? In order to do this, Herod had to tear down the existing buildings surrounding the earlier temple. Herod had taken over a large sections of Jerusalem to provide land to extend the Temple Mount and its huge administration blocks, colleges, and priest quarters. As Jesus is sitting in the temple grounds, he warns the disciples about the scribes and hypocrites. Among other things, he says, as we heard today, the contemporary English version of the Bible, in the New Revised Standard section, it says, he told them, "The scribes devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." What Jesus is saying is that when Herod set out to enlarge the temple, he had to seize and clear all the neighborhoods around the existing structures. I doubt if he called it eminent domain, but it's the same thing. Low-income housing for widows had been destroyed to make space for the new temple buildings. It is possible that the widow in the story may have been among those robbed of their homes in this land repossession. Without a male relative to protect them, widows like her who lose their homes have nowhere to go but the streets. This is why the Bible tells us over and over to care for the widows and orphans left without relatives and with few options for survival. So here is Jesus, sitting opposite the treasury, watching people put money into the treasury. Unlike the plates that we pass in our offering here at the church, the temple has 13 trumpet-shaped receptacles along the walls of the temple for offerings. Also in the main treasury, people bring their money, and a priest would announce the gift and the purpose for which it had been given. With that kind of a system, it is abundantly clear who is giving large gifts. What the widow brings are two small coins, copper, called mites. They are so small in the amount they represent, together they both add up to one U.S. penny. They're also very small in size, as you may have seen on our screens today. Ancient coins are sometimes very small. I've brought a necklace today with a small coin from ancient India, which will give you an idea of old coinage, and I know you cannot see it from there. While these coins were small and we think of them as easy to lose, remember people were smaller as well. But I'll put this on, and after the service you can see it if you like. Now, before we turn our consideration from the scribes and rich people to the poor widow who has entered the temple, let us readjust our focus. This is a very familiar story. Perhaps you heard it first in Sunday school when you were young. It's hard to look at a very familiar story to gain new insight. Once upon a time, when I was beginning my career in corporate communications, my boss told me, "What you have to do is take a story and turn it just a little bit so you can see it from a different angle." In meditative Bible study, there is a practice called Lectio Divina, which is an ancient spiritual practice from the Christian monastic tradition. In this study, a passage of scripture is read, and the listeners are asked to place themselves in the story, either as one of the characters or as an object in the passage. In this way, we can turn the story a little bit and see it from a different angle. So let's do that. Let's imagine ourselves in the story so that we can see it in a new way. Let us imagine ourselves as the two small copper coins the widow brings as her offering. Now, those coins represent more than money to the widow and to us. They represent our faith and belief and how those are lived out in our lives. They represent the idea that faith and belief must be more than showing up at church. This year, when you're thinking about your pledge to the church for Stewardship Sunday next Sunday, think beyond the money. Let us think about how those two small coins and how they represent our trust, our hope, and belief, and how those values are the very center of our lives. The coins represent the faith-filled offering of who we are and what we hope to be in serving others and in serving God. In this sense, the offering of those coins is something other than giving and receiving. It is the act of being. Christian theologian St. Augustine has written, "Our duty is to present ourselves, all of who we are, to God." American Baptist womanist theologian Emily Towns writes, "How can we take God's grace and hope and make it live in our lives in ways that not only sustain us, but model for others the enormous power of offering all of who we are to the rest of creation?" There's a piece of creation flying around up here. Once upon a time, I saw a soloist on a Good Friday singing a very beautiful song, and as she was singing, a fly came down and landed right on her nose. And she just continued singing like nothing had happened. I think I would have gone, Becoming those two small coins must be inward. Something must happen in our very most inner being. We must become those coins. We must live out our lives in a way that our offering is truly shared with others. Now, I'm not talking about giving away everything we own, hitting the road, and telling everyone about God like Jesus. Being those coins means taking our time to carefully examine our lives and our beliefs so that we are able to give ourselves fully to God and to being the body of Christ in the world. One way to start becoming the coins is to ask yourself some questions. What do you think about the nature of God? How does that belief help inform your daily life and your relationships with others? Do you see God as loving and compassionate? Does that mean you sincerely try to care about others, even love the different people that you encounter each day? Is God forgiving and patient? Does God punish people for making mistakes? Is the God in your life the same one you learned about when you were a child? And does that image fit with your understanding of your life today? Who has changed, you or God? For some people, these questions are difficult to explore and may even be things they have never thought about. Here at Church of the Palms, we have many opportunities to explore the nature of our own personal beliefs, to ask questions, and to try new ideas. We have two regular ongoing Bible studies. We have a women's discussion group, which explores passages of the Bible about women. The Cosmic Christian group gathers weekly to journey into theology and the nature of belief. The Lifelong Learning Team is offering a wide variety of classes considering many topics that can help with faith growth. And we will be starting the video discussion group, Living the Questions, again in the new year, in which we will be hearing from major theologians who talk about their understandings about faith. You are welcome to come to any of these opportunities and to enter into the discussions. As the United Church of Christ, we welcome a diversity of opinions and beliefs. Jesus did not ask for followers who don't think or ask questions. He didn't reject people who had doubts. Neither do we. After all, it's who we are as a denomination that is ever-changing, in which each church is autonomous, and in which each person is invited to hold individual beliefs. Liberty of conscience is at the heart of who we are. We must be open to new invitations from God. We need to be able to respond to changes in political, social, and economic situations, but also to opportunities for renewal, transformation, and faithfulness to Jesus and the Word. If what Pastor Jim and I preached on Reformation Sunday recently is correct, and we are, in fact, living in a time of a new global reformation of the church, we each need to be ready to grow, participate, and to move forward knowing in our hearts who we are and what we believe. We and the church are called to be love and to be justice and to move continually into deeper forms of identity with Christ. Becoming the coins, questioning through spiritual inquiry and intellectual freedom will take us together to wherever the future lies. May God be our guide. Amen.